Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz hanging out with you today. And, you know, I wanted a field trip this weekend, and I wanted to share it with you and give you some of the highlights, some of the lowlights, and I really want to talk about financial literacy, which is what I always talk about, but I want to bring it down to the youth level. But I left on Thursday to go down to my final destination was the Alabama school systems in Birmingham, but I started out going to visit my own boy at Illinois Wesleyan College, and had a great time there. And, you know, we talked about his school and what they're learning. And I go, so is it worthwhile? And are you learning stuff? He says, well, I'm having a good time. I go, great. And, of course, I motored down the road then to Nashville, Tennessee, and spent some time with RFD-TV and enjoyed my visit with them. And I love working with farmers and producers, and because I do believe that they actually get many times they get what I call the short end of the stick, because, you know, they're so busy doing other things that they don't always get the right information passed to them. And of course, I'm a big advocate for that, and I'm always wanting to help that crew out by making their lives easier and better, and helping them survive the trials and tribulations of finance, and how to take care of their crops and hedging those things, and making sure that they always get the best deal because they're the backbone of what we do and living. And, you know, listen, they make good money when it's good, but there's a lot of times they're out struggling. And one thing we know for sure is they're working their butts off all the time. And I then motored my way down to Birmingham, and was fortunate enough to be able to speak at a convention on Friday evening, and talk to the schools and business leaders, because we all have a common theme. And, you know, if you teach your youth better, you can end up with a lot better setup and employees and future entrepreneurs if they're educated when they're younger. And so I ended up going down to a convention, ABEA, which is the Alabama's teaching convention. It's where they go and look at new curriculums and things. And of course, I have a big affinity for high schools. In fact, I have a program, highschoolinvesting.com, and I donate my time and my program to the schools. So there is no cost to the school to institute the program. They simply just have to put it in. And of course, it's all about, you know, finance, from learning credit cards, credit scores, because, you know, credit cards are fun, but they also need to be understood, because many of us don't understand the credit card spectrum. And that, you know, just because we have a card that has credit doesn't mean we can spend it, because with that comes sometimes penalties, interest, and things like that. And, you know, when you're not versed in what happens and you end up paying those ridiculous usury rates that we see on credit cards, that becomes a bigger problem. And, you know, and then we get into the part of actually insurance and investing. And, you know, there's investors and there's traders, but we're all somewhat of an investor. Okay. And if you understand that putting a little bit of money away, it doesn't have to be a lot, but if you can start saving when you're young and putting a little bit of money away on a consistent basis, that money will compound itself and grow. And that is something that we have to understand, on a regular basis, that if we do that, okay, then we are a step ahead of the game, because again, nobody wants to get to the finish line and have to worry about, how do I have to go to work? Do I still have to work? Am I passed? Now, I believe that when you retire, you should work because you want to, not because you have to, okay? And that's something that you can achieve by giving the proper skills. And the proper skills are learning how to save, learning how to budget. You know, unlike our government, who doesn't budget, we want to be able to put money away and have it grow or compound, okay? And if we do that, then we find ourselves in a much better financial position later in life, because that money will compound. Now, you just, without any knowledge, just in the pure stock market, if you put away money that you can invest without having to worry about it, and you're not going to need it tomorrow. Now, you don't put rent money or the car payment money in an investment. You put extra money. So, you know, if you have a couple less cups of coffee a week at Starbucks, or less, one or two less beers a week, you know, all of a sudden you can put away 40, 50 bucks a month. Believe it or not, that will add up over time. And if you put it up in a, put it in a Roth IRA, that will add up over time, tax-free. So what would be better than that is to put your money away and have it grow and have you focus on building. And that's where we miss out. You know, everybody always talks about the talk. You know, everybody's afraid to have that talk with their kids, you know. No, I'm not talking about that one. I'm talking about finances. Take your kids and show them the budget. Again, you know, you have to take the time to educate your children. And part of it can be done from schools. You know, I'm from the era when I went to school. If you didn't want to go to college, or maybe you weren't capable of going to college, or whatever number of reasons, okay, you could learn a skill or a trade that gave you a heads up on somebody else's, maybe being an apprentice and growing into that trade, or maybe a life skill. I mean, we had auto mechanics, we had wood shop, we had home economics, electronics, I mean, everything, woodworking. But what we have to do is open up to our children and let them know. But that's why I introduced 5 years ago my high school investing program. Now, again, this is no cost to the school. Okay. Right now, me personally, I foot the bill. Okay. And I hope to change that someday, but I never want to change it where the schools will have to pay. As long as I'm alive and as long as I'm doing it, the schools will never have to pay one dime, because we know budgets and all that stuff. But I believe in it. And I think that we need to, you know, get out there, you know, instead of having these bozos spending, you know, $200 billion on an election, we need to get rid of, you know, the waste of time and the always working on how to take the next test, and actually get our kids in a position financially that they understand how the markets work, how the markets function, what needs to be done to help them better live their life and not get themselves into debt and not have to worry about the bankruptcy courts and the going out of business. We want to create young entrepreneurs and educate them so they become better. And that is what I'm really talking about. That's what, it, to me, is the whole key to making this country better, is getting it from our youth, because our government spends like drunken sailors and they can keep printing money, so it's no big deal to them. But we don't have that same advantage. We have to put ourselves in a better position. And that's why that was my field trip for the weekend. But the highlight was RFD TV and spending some time in Alabama with the teaching there, because you know what? The teachers really care about the kids all over the place. But we have to give them and equip them with the proper tools and curriculum so they can help our youth become better than we were. Because that is every parent's dream, is to have your children do better than you. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwich. If you ever miss an episode, go to libertytalk.fm. We're going to step out here for a break, and we'll be right back with more of The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwich will be right back. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwich with you today. And Of course, we talked about our little field trip over the weekend, had a great time. And, you know, I'll tell you, you know, I look at the puking of Japan and I look at the markets and I go, are we really that delusional that we believe this is actually good for the economy, that we are now seeing negative rates, that we have to now pay to deposit money? I mean, I got to tell you something. This is, to me, one of the most incredible, delusional things that I can ever imagine happening. I mean, I look at what's going on throughout the economic system, and I see margin debts at record highs. I see people being forced to invest that don't like to invest. I see people putting money where they don't want to put it. And I see people struggling to eat. Now, I got to tell you something. You know, we have spent $4 trillion of our money. You know, I mean, they print it, but it's our money. Okay. And what have we gotten for $4 trillion? Okay. Think about it. We got nothing. The banks got whole. The very group that put us in this position to begin with, they got whole out of all this deal. Okay. They were made whole and got all their money back, even though they made all those bad loans. And here we are sitting here, okay, still trying to figure our way out of the problem that was caused by the banks. Okay. And, you know, when you think about it, okay, why is it our responsibility to be bailing out the banking system? Okay. Where did it become that they could not lose? I mean, that's a great trade when you can lend out all the money you want and not worry about it, because you know if you go broke that the Federal Reserve will be there to pick you up. And then if you make all the money, then nobody says anything. You know, it's just like the trader for J.P. Morgan a couple of years ago that got caught, you know, the whale call, I think they call him, the elephant, whatever they call him, but the whale trader. But at the end of the day, okay, think about it this way. If he never got caught, how many times has he done it in the past? You know, we only hear when somebody actually gets caught. We don't hear about the ones that didn't. So how many people you think have done that very same thing, okay, and didn't get caught, and the bank just took the money? See, so to me, that doesn't seem like a fair and equitable deal for the American people. To me, that doesn't seem like a reasonable opportunity where we're all created equal. Because my business, if I go broke, what do they say? Pay up or go bankrupt. Okay. In your business, same thing. Okay. They don't allow me to keep printing money. And why do they print money? To keep the politicians in business. Okay. So they can dole out more. I mean, and that becomes even the bigger issue. Okay. Because we're not doing it to grow. We're doing it strictly to have more entitlement programs and to continue to roll on closer and closer to a socialist type of economy. And I don't know about you, but that's not what I want. I want what we have, free markets. I want to be able to, you know, if I need to borrow money, I want to go out and borrow money. If I need to, you know, if I want to invest, I want to invest. I don't want somebody controlling me and telling me where I have to go and what I have to do and taking my good, hard-earned money for taxes to go ahead and build and pay somebody back who mishandled or misappropriated their funds to begin with. To me, that just doesn't seem as an equitable deal when you look at the bigger picture, okay? And that is where I draw the line and have a problem, because here we continue to see the breaking down of America, okay? Or we see the overall economy sliding down, okay? And all for what? So that the rich can get richer? The wealthy can get wealthier? Now, again, I have no problem with, you know, gaining wealth, I mean, the rich are going to get richer because they're typically in a better position to capitalize when those things happen. But why do I have to give it to them? Okay. When they create the mess, why do I have to fund it so they can get out? So I'm, you know, irked by that when I look at it. And I'm irked by the way that our economists look at the system, because they won't admit that there's a problem. Now, anybody with a first grade education could probably spot the problem. Now, again, I talked about financial literacy and educating our youth. Well, hell, we need someone else to educate our economists, because they don't have a clue of what's going on. And that becomes, to me, even a bigger story and a bigger problem, because they won't admit that they've created a problem. Okay. Now, I got to worry about the mess that's created, because, you know, I've got kids, you know, we all have kids, or not, we don't all have kids, but people have kids, you know, you got to worry about, what are they going to do? I mean, what actual creation are we getting in our country? You know, manufacturing numbers were down again. Now, I know that we're moving away from manufacturing. That I get. Okay. I understand that we're moving away from that. You know, we're moving more into a service, you know, a computerized, robotic type of thing. So obviously the types of jobs are going to change, and hopefully our young will be educated in those jobs as we were educated in machine tools and manufacturing. And I have no problem with that. That's evolution. But when you look at it, okay, we could have helped that sect or sector of people that needed the money, instead of just, you know, throwing it away, which is basically what we did, because the truth is everybody would have come out in better shape had we had done the simple movement of putting people to work and rebuilding the country and bringing the manufacturing back here. Okay, because now all you have is a worldwide mess, partially created by some of the things that we did. And, you know, so when I look back and you talk about the great leaders and the great financial decisions that they made, and I go, well, what were the great financial decisions? I would like to see one that was great that shows me that we really have done something to move forward and progress versus go backwards and digress. I think it's a sad state of affairs that we have people around us, supposedly our brightest, that really cannot identify the problems in this country. And they come down to money. Okay. I mean, work, money, eating, money, buying, money. I mean, if we could just handle those problems, we would be in such a much better shape, such better condition, and our people would be happier. And they'd be spending. That's what I don't understand. Why can't the geniuses, the powers that be, add two and two together? Okay? A guy makes money, he spends it. A guy spends it, the next person spends it. The velocity of money. Where is the velocity of money? Well, the problem is, when you don't have much, there isn't much to have velocity with. And then that becomes a bigger problem. So my whole concern here is simple, okay? If we go back to the education of our youth, maybe we won't make these same ridiculous mistakes again, because we seem to make them over and over again. And we all know the greed and fear deal, but isn't it time to step aside and say, hey, this is not working. We need to find a better solution for our troubles, because the solutions that we are using are not correct. They are not working, and we need to be better. And we are better than that. We are Americans. We are the land of opportunity. But we cannot continue to destroy our opportunities with ignorance and incompetence, because at the end of the day, we'll end up in the same as everybody else, in the same crapper. And I, for one, don't want to be there. I, for one, want to see us back on the high life, the Miller high life. I'm going to go for a Miller High Life right about now. But that's what I want to see. I want to see us go back and do it the right way without giving up so much of an edge. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. If you've ever missed an episode, please go to LibertyTalk.fm and check it out. We're going to step out here for a break. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. And we will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz.
You're so delicious. Yes.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with our resident expert on technical analysis. It's our buddy Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. What's up, Matt?
How you doing, Todd?
I'm doing great. So, Matt, last week, kind of as you scripted, you were looking for some sort of a rally, followed by help with a little help from the Bank of Japan. But again, it doesn't matter why. It's still the footprint that you're reading. Why don't you recap what you were looking at last week and how it resulted?
Well, last week I was looking for a continued rally, but you know we just got chop all week until Bank of Japan made their move. That got things going, and here we are now. We broke through some important resistance levels, but I think we hit even more important resistance levels at the end of Friday.
Okay, so like what were some of the resistance levels you were looking at?
Well, actually in the Nikkei itself, that level 17,880 is in the futures a really significant level. It projects much lower. It doesn't mean we can't break above it. It just means that I don't think the move down in the Nikkei is finished. But what could happen is we could run up first and then we'll have to retrace all the way down into the 15,000s again. So that would be, you know, a big swing up and a big swing down. Or it's really one of two spots, either here at 17,880 or up at 19,000. We'll turn it back down.
All right. And what would be your initial guess, or how would you play it? Are you playing it from the short side here? Are you being a little bit more passive and waiting to see if it's going to continue? How do you look at playing it from here?
I'm being a little more passive because not everything is making sense to me. For example, on Friday, the 10-year rate fell to a lower low. And the 10-year rate and U.S. Equity indices have been pretty well correlated for the past year. So it's just strange to see, you know, a sizable rally in U.S. at the same time have rates falling. I know there might be some carryover from Bank of Japan, but those are long rates. They really shouldn't be affected that much. Maybe there was speculation that, you know, more QE's around the corner worldwide. So I guess that could make some sense. But I want to see if the rally's to continue. I want to see. I want to see 1940 and 1950 taken out in the S&P to the upside. I want to see rates continue to rise rather than continue the fall from Friday. And then I'll be more than happy to get very bullish and long.
Right. Well, I mean, I think that 1940, which is about where we closed, looks to be an area that I had watched previously in the S&P. You know, I think that that looked like a lot of late short covering in the overall rally. And again, it doesn't matter why. And we're looking for certain information that will play out. And again, that's why we talk about technical analysis versus fundamentals, because, again, there is no fundamental reason for the markets to be doing anything like they're doing. But I think one thing that was interesting, and maybe you can help us understand it better, is on Friday, the U.S. dollar exploded. The bonds, the 30, the long year bond exploded, and the S&P exploded. That is not a typical relationship between those three. One or two is wrong, but most likely one is wrong. What's your take of that?
I agree. I have the same problem with it. As far as the rate, my issue is the rate and stock market not moving together. One of those two is wrong. The dollar, I don't think the dollar has a whole lot more to go to the upside right now, at least. It's on resistance, and the commercial banks are heavily short, which we've talked about many times. But at this point, I've never seen them this short dollar index futures. They are 185 contracts short for every one contract they're long. So they are really concentrated on the short side of the dollar.
And how would you explain why they be taking such a big shot to the short side here on the dollar?
Well, I think that they must be expecting dovishness out of our central bank, that either, you know, they're not going to go through with the, definitely not four interest rate increases, maybe only two, maybe none.
There's going to be none. I'll clear that up. There's going to be none. The one in December, I think, was purely a play by Yellen to say, "Well, I'm still the boss," but I think she knows she made a mistake by raising there anyway. So I'm going to say zero. I'll step out on that and say there will be zero rate increases unless there's a miraculous recovery in the overall economy. But that's not what you do. You're more of a technical guy. So now they're stepping up and they're short. But I mean, they had to get trapped a little bit. I mean, that was an awfully big move, and they've been short for much lower prices than here, because this is a new high right now, isn't it?
Well, it's not a new high. It's right around the old high. The old high was right around 100. So we're at 99.6. It's very close.
But they printed a new high on Friday, did they not?
I'm not sure, actually. They might have. I didn't pay that close of attention, but it might have been a slight new high. Let me take a look even right now. Just in the dollar index, it's still slightly lower than the high we got in November.
You're right. I was on the road when I saw that, and I thought it was much higher, because I thought it was well over 100, but it wasn't. So now, again, aren't they possibly under a little bit of a pressure here to cover, which is maybe why we pushed them so much higher?
Will the banks be under pressure to cover?
Yeah,
I don't think so. I mean, it seems like they have unlimited firepower whenever they do anything. If they're in a bad position and it's moving against them, they don't seem to ever panic. They'll just keep adding. You know, if we go higher in the dollar, they'll just keep adding to their shorts. I've never seen them do otherwise. I've seen the same thing with gold and silver. I mean, when gold and silver were running higher in 2011, then I think at that point they were panicking. And you know, if you remember, but it was what, May 2011, when they started this, you know, vicious smackdown of gold and silver overnight, and like very thin trading on Sunday night. I think it was May 1st, but China was closed. But at that point, they had gotten so incredibly short gold and silver, and they kept just, you know, moving up parabolically, that it became a real problem for them. And they, you know, they kind of jiggered the system the way they wanted. They spoke to the CME. The CME agreed to increase the the margin requirements for gold and silver five times in a row as the metals were falling, which really didn't make a whole lot of sense to me at the time. But anyway, that was one of the few times I thought, you know, the commercials might panic and give in, and they just went to other means. But so as far as the dollar goes and anything else that they happen to do, they just seem to just add to a position regardless.
Well, listen, they got the middle class bailing them out by the monetary policy that our wonderful Federal Reserve continues to observe. And, of course, they didn't do anything last week either. And of course, that helped make some interesting action. So as you look from here, what's your take going forward into the next week or so?
So going into this week, if we break 1950, I'm definitely on board for the S&P. We'll be long. If Nikkei breaks, say, 17,900, that'll confirm to me that we're talking about a global rally. In the DAX, I'm looking at 9,900. We break above there, that's a serious resistance point. Right now it's at 9,800, so that's only 100 points higher. So those would be sort of my benchmarks for no longer hesitating and just getting on board the bull bandwagon.
Yeah, so are you now thinking, I know you had called for new highs, even though you felt that overall we're going to go lower. But so are you now on board that if this gets through 1950, we're going to see new highs?
I think it very well could. Let me take that back. I think that if I want to see Nikkei go up to, if it does break 17,900, and then I think it should go up to 19,000. If it then breaks 19,000, and yeah, anything's possible from that point. But I don't think it will. I think we've got to reach, I think we have to go, at least in the Nikkei, to a lower low. That doesn't mean that U.S. markets have to go to lower lows. Just, I want to see it happen in Japan. China definitely hasn't bottomed long term. But it landed on a spot on Friday, too, that could easily cause a big rally from here. Wouldn't be the final bottom. Wouldn't be a place I would think we'd run to new highs. Basically, what I'm trying to get at is I would like to see the lows we visited in the U.S., and I'd like to see Nikkei complete on the downside. And then I'd be fully on board for seeing new highs. But until that happens, I'll be a little bit skeptical of how far this can run.
Well, I mean, you have to be very skeptical here, because there's a big resistance area that was almost like a blow off pattern in the Dow on Friday, as well as the other indexes. But we're visiting with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. Check out his stuff. The man's been on fire here at the Bubba Show. If you miss a show, go to libertytalk.fm and check it out. Always available on demand. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz.
After 10,000 beers and 28
Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. Always on top of it. Really puts together a great report. I urge you to check out DemeterResearch.com. And check out our good friend Matt. He comes and comes with us every week and gives us the technical read. And Matt, you know, last week was funny. You were kind of bullish the yen, but you said, you know, I think I better wait because it doesn't look like it actually has made that pattern I'm looking for. And of course, that turned out to be the right play as well. What's your take of the yen and the Canadian and a couple of the outside currencies this week?
Well, for the yen. Yeah, it didn't look right because the commercials had gone from a heavy long position to actually a net short position, and that was a concern. The other concern was that I had much stronger support at lower levels, which we achieved on Thursday and Friday last week. Those are strong support levels. I would expect a rally in the yen fairly soon. We could go a little bit lower. I think we got down to about 0.0082. We think we go a little lower than that, but not much, just right around that level, the 0.0082. And on the upside, it's about, if you look at it the other way, dollar yen would be about 1.22.
Okay.
From those points, I could definitely see a yen rally. And that's just based on the chart.
As far as
I can tell with the commercials, it's hard to know what they did because the last reading we had was last Tuesday, and they were still net short at that time. But maybe they've, now that we have had such a big move, they may have increased their long position.
All right, so now...
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Finish your thought.
Well, as far as the Canadian dollar, it's so tied to oil, and I don't believe oil has bottomed, although I think it came really close. All right, I think at least the oil producers came close. That chart is much cleaner than what I have for oil. The Canadian, as it's strengthened, a lot of its indicators have gone from extremely oversold right to neutral. So, it's not a huge move, and yet its indicators unwind really, really quickly. So that too doesn't make me think the oil move or the Canadian dollar move have a lot in them.
Now,
continue.
When you look at a chart, okay, and of course the action last Friday was very explosive, and it seemed to me it looked like it was a lot of short covering, as I said earlier, and typically that is not a great bullish pattern. If we're going to continue to the upside, that's usually a sign that they trapped everybody, and now that everybody's covered, it could take it back down to your lower objective here. Do you see the same thing, or what do you see when those things happen?
Yeah, I do. And, this is good for the indicators, too. Indicators on this move on Friday went from oversold to neutral. So it doesn't – that also doesn't convince me there's a lot more to this. I mean, it could still continue for a while. I just – I'm with you on that. I think it probably was, mostly short covering. I don't know if it has a lot of energy and power left. But that said, if it can power through really important resistance lines, then I kind of have to give it the benefit of the doubt. But, this doesn't seem to me to be the starting point of right now. I don't think that it's got that much power.
I mean, I just look at things, in history and charts, because at the end of the day, all charts are the same. It doesn't matter, right? They all do the same thing. Typically, big moves, unless we consolidate up here, then I think they're just going to reverse and go back down to the downside. And this was just a trap to trap in, because as you and I both know, bear market rallies are always the most explosive, most powerful. And they look so damn good that you can say, how can I not be involved in this move? But typically that's really just saying, hey, screw you. We got your back end. Now we're going to take the other way. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I agree 100% that it's just, they're so quick because it's just everybody piling it on the short side, all loaded on one side of the boat. Once you neutralize that, you have to ask, are people willing to get long? I mean, is the fundamental backdrop good enough? And I agree with that to some degree. I mean, we got GDP on Friday. That was a disappointment, but less than expected. I don't see anything, like you, I don't see anything really that positive in the economy, unfortunately. It doesn't mean, stocks can't go higher if central banks around the world decide to go back into this, money printing sort of era.
I would say this. I would say that not only is our Federal Reserve going to lower, again, and go back to zero, but I'm going to say there's going to be a QE4. Is there any signs of that anywhere in your charts? Is there anywhere you can see something similar to that, that may be indeed the case they're thinking?
Well, we spoke about the dollar. I don't see why the commercials get so heavily short the dollar. If they didn't see more QE coming, why do that? They're also Well, I mean, take a look at rates. Rates have been falling. I don't see why rates would be the other day, why rates would continue to fall unless there was speculation of more QE. So those two charts are only two that really speak to it. I also, when I look at something we don't talk that much about, I look at the industrial metals. They broke really important support, very important support to me. So that would be copper, aluminum, and zinc broke very important support about a month ago. And the target I have to the downside now, the next support down, is a lot lower, more than 20% lower. So my guess is that, you know, if they're going to fall that much more, I mean, and China have fallen quite a bit lower, at some point, everybody kicks on the QE.
And that's always a shame. But again, those things kind of show up. I mean, when you watch the 10-year, I mean, I think the 10-year is going to 1.5 this year. So, I mean, I've said that for a while, so I'm not surprised that any of this action is happening. I mean, again, I was surprised at the size of the rally, but of course, I wasn't expecting Japan to go to negative rates. And, you know, it continues to be a manipulated market. But again, even with a manipulated market, there still are footprints to follow. And I think that's the biggest thing, that the message that we have to relay, and kind of what Domino Research does, is it ignores that information and goes back to what the actual footprint of the market is. Would that be a correct statement?
Absolutely. Yeah, we just follow what the charts are telling us, and what, you know, the commercial positioning is, and that's and we try to, you know, push all that other stuff out. In fact, I'm with you. I know you said that mainstream media often, you know, sort of does a disservice to watchers because, you know, they accentuate a lot of the wrong things. And but yeah, we just focused on technicals here. We try to stay unbiased.
Right. I mean, it doesn't, again, one of the things that everybody has to understand, and this is where Demeter Research is one of the kings, is that it doesn't matter. You know, I can tell you why it should go down. I can tell you why we should be collapsing. I can tell you that the middle class is in a recession. But at the end of the day, the markets don't care about any of that. They care about the paper flow and the order flow. And buyers can step in at any time, or sellers can step in at any time. It doesn't really matter when it comes down to it. It's really about what the footprint of the market says. And, you know, again, we'll look at that. And it is a key area. I think that this is probably the top of this most recent range. And again, I'm not going to, you know, get crazy and just go willy-nilly shorting here. But I think that this is a key area to watch. And you're looking for a little bit higher, you know, 1950. But we're in the same neighborhood. And I think that's something important that everybody has to understand. And that's what Matt brings to you. Correct, sir?
Absolutely. Any of your listeners will get a discount if they're interested in our service. They just put in Bubba as the coupon, and they'll get 10% off.
That's awesome. And make sure you check out DemeterResearch.com. This has been Matt Demeter on his weekly appearance here, giving us a lot of the technical stuff that nobody really pays that much attention to. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bob Horwich. If you miss an episode, go to LibertyTalk.fm. Always there on demand. We have been with Matt Demeter. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwich. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same station. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see you tomorrow.
It's late September, and I really should be back at...
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.